So last week we were talking about where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? So we're looking at Jesus and how he started walking on water. Where is your faith? You know, faith is not for the possible. Faith is always for the impossible. Faith is where we always draw the line. Faith is always where we draw the line between whether we are children of God or we belong to this world. Faith is always where we draw the line. Where's your faith? So let's go to Matthew chapter 14 again. You know, one of the beautiful things about the house of God is, and the beautiful thing about the Bible, say after me, say the Bible is true, and the Bible is alive. Let's say it again. Say the Bible is true, and the Bible is alive. Is the Bible true? Is the Bible alive? Okay, what do we mean by when we say the Bible is true? The Bible is true because every information there is true. And its truth, it's objective. Woke culture always fights not just the truth, but the concept that something is truth. Why? Because you can't smuggle in a lie until you destabilize the power of truth. On, you know, the quest to destroy anything about the concept of truth. How? For example, in every family setting, God designed that there's the father, there's the mother. That's the family setting. So if there's truth, right? Even if that's not your experience, and probably your single mother, it doesn't destroy or change the fact that a father is required. So at that point, when you're a single mother, God has to father the kids. And sometimes he'll do it through you. You would end up doing both father and mother. You see, God does not immediately destroy the fact that the truth is that that's the system of God. I don't know if you get the point. So woke culture wants to destabilize anything that, like anything of the concept of truth, because anything that's truth then has to be objective. They can't smuggle in 32 other genders if the truth says there are two. I don't know if you get the point. So they have to destabilize the concept of truth and say, no, these things are social constructs. And get the whole system cataclysmic. Then everybody is thinking, this thing is now subjective now. All right, so, I mean, the other time I was watching one guy's, you know, analysis of something. I think there was a prayer something going on, and some ladies who desired to get married wore wedding clothes, you know, and people were bashing them, and woke feminists were bashing them that how can, it's like, it, they felt like it's degrading to women. How can wanting to have a husband be degrading? There's nothing wrong with that. Especially when, and they have every right to pray, because especially when In our culture, a woman can go and buy a ring for a man. So they have to wait. And as they are waiting, if they really desire something that they are waiting to come, you have to pray. And you have to pray that you get the right person too. So it's a lot of things. Especially if that person actually desires to get married. You see, but woke culture will just jump on it. Like, you know, there should They should draw a very good line between being a feminist and being a man hater. Because now it's together. And be careful of name calling. Be careful of name calling. Because the fact that something has a name doesn't make it right or doesn't validate it. There are many things with names that are flukes. Right? And things, name calling is, oh, so you just realize that, oh, this is what I experienced. Oh, it's called this. It's called that. And you start calling it names and you start appropriating to yourself. You see, always let's know what God's word says about something. Let's know what, all right. So if the person who went to wear the wedding dress, you are insulting such a person, rather, you know, and think about it. Some of these woke feminists, all right, they puncture everything or punch everything that has to do with, you know, loving, being loving toward a man and all that's like your whole existence depends on a man, you know, kind of thing. But they have dogs that they love. That they express that to. You know, it's just messed up. So they try to destroy any concept of truth so that they can throw everything in the balance so that you can do what you want. That's it. That's the point. But the Bible is true. It tells us what is objective and says, that's the way. This is not the way. No. That's not the way. No. It depends on, you get it? It depends on if and only you feel this way, you know? Sometimes some of these statements are as though they are in the Bible. If only you are okay with it. No. What if you're okay with killing people? If and only it makes you happy. No. It's not only if you're okay with it. Not only if it makes you happy. Is it the truth? So one of the books in the world that states objectively that there's truth. That's why it goes under a lot of attack. Because, no. Why does it have to be this? How does it? No. This book. Then they now start calling it hate speech. They said, the Bible has hate speech. You know, I love God. God does not sound apologetic to anybody. He goes straight to the point. He said, I don't like this. I don't like that. I abhor this. I don't like that. Stay away from this. Cool, right? Then everybody says, right. I like God. He's not thinking of anybody's rubbish. So the Bible is true. Then the Bible is alive. What does it mean for the Bible to be alive? The Bible is alive. Like, whatever was written in the Bible is still alive today. You see, so I can meditate on David killing Goliath. Even though I might not meet a real Goliath, I can meet a Goliath-like circumstance. And the Bible is alive at that time to make sure that I become a David. Are you going home? So the Bible is alive. All those testimonies and those things we see in the Bible are not only for those who are in. I remember I went to preach somewhere one time. And the teacher there, it was a school, and the teacher there was telling me about how he had started listening to Pastor Chris. This is like 10 years ago. As he had started listening to Pastor Chris, he said, what I love about Pastor Chris' message is that he's not just preaching, you know, he's just preaching like to you like a good message. You know, like when we're kids, like Daniel and the Lion's Den, it was just a nice thing, all right? Wow, that like you're watching a movie, like Blowman and Killer, all right? So you see the Blowman ends like this, the killer like this. Even though you're not part of the movie, you just like the fact that good won, all right? So a lot of the time when you read the stories in the Bible, it's like David and Goliath, like, oh, the good guy won, oh, thank God. You know, Daniel and the lions, and oh, the good guy won, oh, thank God. You know, Jesus, the good guy, he rose, oh, yeah, thank God. You know, but the man said, what I love about it is that Pastor brings the word out that you can live this. All right, so the story of Samson is not just a story that we say, oh, the good guy beat the Philistines. No, it's a story where you can also think about what made Samson so invincible. That was the Spirit of the Lord. Obviously, the Spirit of the Lord came upon something. So you ask yourself a question. So if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, can I defeat circumstances? Can I defeat, you know, we might not have Philistines today, but can I defeat things? That same spirit of mind can make you mighty and work, you know, do the most amazing things. That's the word of God. It's alive. The Bible is alive. There's something Pastor used to say many years ago. He said, if you don't have a Bible, don't eat till you buy one. And so true. So true. So true. Someone's thinking, oh, sir, no. But then you look in the Bible and you see the secrets. And it helps you to, the Bible helps you to know God. Let me show you something in 2 Kings 19:19. I'll start from 28. So the prophet Isaiah is going to give you a mystery, a secret, a kingdom secret. Because thy rage against me and that, okay, this has to do with Hezekiah and Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. But Isaiah brings out a truth there. He says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into my ears, therefore I'll put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. God is prophesying to Hezekiah that he's going to win against Sennacherib. All right, verse 29. He said, and this shall be a sign unto thee. Now look at the secret here. He says, ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat of the fruits thereof. Okay, what's he saying? He says the first year, all right, after winning, he said the first year something is going to happen. He said you start eating things that grow by themselves. That means there are going to be miracles. So first year, there are going to be miracles. Things are just going to be happening. So you see that a lot of time in a lot of Christians' lives, in the beginning, everything was moving like nice. He said in the second year, he said same thing is going to happen. He said by the third year, so. In the third year, you have to put in some effort. In the third year, you have to put in a system. So sometimes it's as though God did it, and then God just stopped doing it. No, in the third year, he says you sow, you reap, and plant vineyards in of the fruits thereof. Now, his power is still going to work. But this time around, it's not going to bring you things just like that. Now, his power is going to work in the soil. At this time, his power is not going to work in the soil. So, some Christians get one handout miracle, like just handed out to them. And they are expecting that their life would go on that trajectory for the whole Christian life. And that's, they're going to be so disappointed. And the gap between the first miracle and the second one, like 10 years. But they are still confident that if he did it before, he would do it again. It's a secret there. God gave the children of Israel manna till they entered the promised land. The moment they entered the promised land, God said, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Now you start planting in this land. You start growing things in this land. Has he left them? No! His power is not going to work in the soil. So there are times you get things, you know, coming freely to you, you know. Oh, wow, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You know, things start working freely for you. Then it gets to a point, it stops. When your current miracle is no longer happening, sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's God shifting the post. Sometimes it's God saying, all right, we're done with this one, we move to the next. Not everything is the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's God saying, we are done with this one, we move to the next. Imagine Moses. The next phase of Moses' life, he had outgrown being Pharaoh's little boy. Or Pharaoh's daughter's little boy. You understand? The destiny of Moses is you're going to deliver the Israelites. Now, it starts off with a major miracle. This is a great miracle. They put him on the water as a little boy, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him, takes him to the palace. He now grows up in the palace. He's schooled in the wisdom of Egypt. That's a nice thing. That's a nice level. But he's still not yet shepherding Israel. He's still not yet in the destiny God called him to be. He's still not yet the person God made him to be. So now that particular level starts fighting him. That particular miracle, I now started fighting him. The same miracle. The same miracle that we share the testimony about can start fighting you. It's not from the devil, it's from God. At the same level, start fighting him. Pushes him out of comfort. Now he's a shepherd boy. God says, all right, you know, you're going to see Pharaoh. We can't take you back to Pharaoh. As Pharaoh, do you remember me? I'm your daughter's son. You know, I've been here before. No, the new level can't take that version of Moses. Moses has to meet God. Because when he goes back, he has to say, the God of the Hebrews has met us. This time around, I'm not your little boy anymore. This time around, there's a new level. I came with something different. I came to fulfill my life destiny, my life's call. So in the first level, looks like everything is so cozy, strong, nice, streaming in yourself, stringing around, just enjoying the, so that God is good all the time, God is good, you share a testimony, everything is just moving soon. I wonder how Christians are suffering, because I... So let's go to Matthew chapter 14. So we look at Jesus, verse 20. And they did eat and were all filled. Can you imagine? Look at something. Can you imagine that one day, all right, we're looking at testimonies. One day, Peter was on the receiving end of a miracle. He needed fish. One day he didn't have fish. He toiled all night. So one day he was on the receiving end of a miracle. Then he received a miracle. And the Bible says that it was so much, he called the other people, come and help me, come and help me. He was on the receiving end of a miracle. Another time, he was joining Jesus to work miracles. I mean, Jesus did not go around sharing the bread himself. Can you imagine? Jesus was not going around sharing the bread himself. When he multiplied the bread, he gave to the disciples and they were sharing among them. I mean, Peter was seeing real time. He breaks the bread and it multiplies. It's just, as he keeps breaking the bread, it just keeps multiplying. Just, Peter, his life has changed from looking for a miracle to joining Jesus to work miracles. By Acts chapter 5, Peter's shadow was now healing the sick. In the beginning, he was on the receiving end of a miracle. Now, he joins Jesus to do it. Later, Jesus goes and said, boy, you can handle this. Now, Peter starts becoming ruthless. Imagine Jesus left Peter at the fishing side. Think about it. He will call Jesus again. Jesus, today too, we did not catch. And Jesus said, throw to the left side. You catch again. Ah, Jesus! No, that's not God's plan for you. To be on the receiving end of a miracle. That's not God's plan. So, let's see. You know, today's message is wonderful. Think about something. I want to read Joel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Had this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Verse 3, he says, tell your children of it. And let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Think of it. If you became an old man, not in terms of, looking sickly and old, no. But an old man, as in now you have children and had grandchildren, if Jesus Christ tarries. You know, have you ever hanged around with old men who were around in the days of war or famine? You've never hanged around any of them. Oh, you've never heard stories. If you have ever hanged around any of them who were around when, in 1980, the famine in Ghana, they would tell you stories. Have they ever told you? Yes, sir. They said, Kenke was so hard to find. Kenke, so hard to find. Stories, they will tell you stories. Or those who are around during the time of the war. You know? In Ghana, there was not much war, so Ghanaian grandfathers have nothing much to say about that. Except those who went to war, those who were military, they'll say, when they went to Lebanon, when they were lying on the floor, two of their friends died. They were wondering what they would do. You know, they'll be telling you stories. Ask yourself a question now. When you become a grandfather, do you have stories of faith to tell your children? Girls don't have stories of faith to tell their children. They don't have anything to tell their children. That's how we've been doing it since. We'll be holding on. No. Sometimes some of these things you are doing for the Lord is for you to have stories of faith to tell your children and your children's children. You gather them and say, you know, we were in Airport City. And one time, we said we wanted to give 1 million copies. And then all of us, we knew that we all didn't have the money. Then we began to pray. One time you have to carry your children and say, you know, people have not seen miracles before. I want to tell you when we're in Glory Fellowship. One time, some things were going on and we didn't understand how to go about it. All the brethren did not have anything. But then we began to move our faith. And we began to move our faith. Come on. The story I want to read to you is about Peter. There was something about Peter. There's something about Peter. No, imagine you were in the time of Jesus. If Peter had grandchildren, he would tell them the day he walked on water. Peter had a certain attitude. It looked bad sometimes. But God liked the attitude. Peter, very vocal and forward. Who do men say I am? Who do you say I am? You are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God speaks through him. Very forward. The rest of the guys were sitting behind. They were not sure what they were hearing. The same guy, when the devil wanted to speak, he said, Master, don't say this. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Same guy. Also very forward. None of the disciples spoke. Very forward. Same Peter. Children were coming to Jesus and said, don't come. The protocol manager. very forward guy. Jesus says that, you know, people will betray me. Peter said, hey, Master, don't say that. I'll be there. Very forward guy. Very, very forward guy. Everything, he's always there to say something or do something. Check the Bible. Peter's always saying something. That same attitude on the day of Pentecost. Peter stepped out. 3,000 gave their life to Christ. Same attitude. That same forward attitude. Faith has no place for people who are hiding. But as for me, that's how I am. Wrong. There's nothing like that. You have to delete it. I'm an introvert. Delete it.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
You train yourself. When they're asking those who have prophecy, I will step out. That's where it starts. You get some wrong, like Peter. The Satan spoke through him. You get so wrong. But don't worry, just keep doing it. Even after Peter betrayed Jesus, Jesus Christ said, no, Peter, don't worry. Do this for me. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. I know you betrayed me, but there's something about you. I can't just let you go. There's something about you. There's some of my leaders or pastors who have some of the most reckless things they've done. Sometimes you are just looking at this person. But you can just find one thing. At least the person is doing something. It's better than one who's not doing anything. Then you know that this thing that this person has, we just have to tweak it a little bit. It will be good. And that's how God is. Look at Peter. Forward Peter. We're at Matthew 14, verse 20. Go ahead. Next verse. We'll just keep reading. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. All right. Now, we can end here and say, wow, Jesus is so powerful. He's walking on water. Wow. But we should continue the story. I think there's someone else we can learn something from. And that's Peter. What did he say? Correct guy. Or Peter. Next verse. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Nice side. Like God come and tell you, yes, I do all this. Let me tell you something. In my life, human beings don't stop me. If I want to do something, no human being can stop me. The devil cannot stop me. Only God stops me. Sometimes I want to do something and God says, oh, hold on. But that human being will stop me or the devil will stop me cannot be. Never seen it. It is I. Be of good faith. Be not afraid. Go, next verse. And Peter answered him and said, come on, Peter. Look, he's not the only one in the boat. Everybody's thinking, whoa, amazed at Jesus. Wow, Jesus is walking on water. Our master is serious. He's serious. See our pastor. Our pastor is walking on water. I will tell people when we go. Peter said, Lord, if it is true that it is you, call me to come. I love Peter. Because in the history of the Bible, two men walk on water, Jesus and Peter.
Yes, sir.
And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on thee on the water. If it is you, call me. Call me. It's not enough for you to have the testimony. I also want some. Am I talking to somebody here? Hey! Peterific fits. People are just hiding. Some people are just hiding. This is what the apostasy has done. Apostasy. All of us are hyper apostasy. I'm part. But hiding behind. Peter said, no. I also want to say something. I need a testimony to sir. He said, all right, if it is you, call me to come. Call me to come. Next verse. And he said, come. Now, this is where the miracle happened. It's Jesus said, come. That's where the testimony is. There's some people who have gathered their members. I heard a story of a pastor who gathered his members that are going to walk on the sea and they drown. Yeah. Very foolish, all of them. But you know what? It's better than hiding. You think, why did they die? It's better than hiding. See, it's better. I'm telling you how God sees it. It's better to die acting your faith than hide. I'm telling you how God sees it. Because some people die without acting their faith anyway. It's better to die acting your faith. Like, for example, the testimony of one lady at the healing stream, the past healing stream. The mother was on oxygen support. The doctor said she's going to die anyway. Mother is going to die. She removed the oxygen tank. Said, let's go and watch healing streams. You say, he said she's going to die anyway. She was healed. Yeah. Said, what if she died? She was going to die anyway. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he said, come. So you see, Peter was walking on that come. That come, eh? Jesus. Now, I said that about that church because they made a mistake. You don't walk on water until Jesus says, come. That's the rhema word. That's the rhema word, God. You got a word from Lord. Move to this house or move to that office. Tell her, you start moving there. You're praying 4 hours and all night. The Spirit says, make bold moves. You go and make bold moves. You see, hear most of the time in service, you know, you hear people's testimony. They will say, I knew it was for me. You get it? That's a rhema word. I knew it was for me. I knew pastor was talking about me. If you are not sure if it was talking about you, go home with the message again. Then make it for you. Sometimes God gives you free food. Sometimes he gives you what to cook. There are times I've been in a service, the word that came, I'm sure that this one here, it was not for me. It was not coming to me. So I have to go and make it for me. Now when I have to take it home and engage meditation, while I'm meditating on it, it becomes for me. So look at Peter. The master said, come. The master, you know, I love Jesus. If it was some apostles of today, they would say, do you know what it takes? Do you know what it takes to walk on water? Peter, you don't respect. That's what I'm saying. Peter, you be careful. Peter never destroyed Peter's character. You see, you know, there are some people, they always want to do something. When I notice leaders like that, I don't quench them. So, oh, he wants to have this meeting. I said, go ahead. He wants to have that meeting. I said, go ahead. Why? Even if he's making a mistake, it's better. It's better because there are some people who will do nothing and sit at the back only to judge and to criticize. See how he's moving. See how he's preaching to his fellowship and he's moving like Pastor Enoch. He's like, Pastor Enoch has to be careful of people like this. Strange children. Listen. What didn't they say about me when I started? Many people went to tell regional pastor at that time, years ago. This guy will leave and go and start his ministry. He will start his ministry. Stop him now. Stop him now. Stop him now. Regional pastor said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Jesus did not look at Peter and say, Peter, you are drying, you are trying my anointing. Try my anointing. He said, Master, if it is you, tell me to come, Peter. Master said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Hey! He walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter was walking on water. We can end it here. Because some of you like to continue to where he failed. No, leave it here. No, leave it here. He walked on water, full stop. Wow! Glory to God! Peter walked on water. If you're naming the people who walked on water in the Bible, Jesus and Peter. Moses was afraid, so God had to open the sea. Joshua was afraid, so God had to open the sea. No, Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. Peter. Wow. Peterific. It's so Peterific. Wow. Go ahead. But when he saw, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Oh. There's another good thing you can say about Peter. Oh my God. Peter knew how important his pastor was. He says, when the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried. He didn't say, I will do it myself. No, he said, save me. Save me. Save me. Save me. My faith got to this point now. I cannot say, save me. And when he began to sing, Jesus did not save him. Jesus was just looking. He would have sunk until he said, save me. And that good thing you learn about Peter. He's not ready to die. Oh, Lord. Peter. My God, you know, your mentality stops the power of God. We're still talking about where's your faith? Where's your faith? Like, for example, you know, there's some of you, you need to work on your mentality. Actively, And when it comes to mentality, where's the challenge? The challenge is sometimes from where you grew up, family. See, that's a challenge. You grew up in a family where they've never seen big things. A slave. Eh? Do you know what's a testimony for a slave? A bigger prison. Once a slave gets a bigger prison, it's like, yeah. I want to share a testimony, sir. We've got a bigger prison. We are in prison. It's just bigger. They've added AC to us in the prison. Mentality. Like I said that in November, all cells are going to have a cell crusade. Now, some cell leaders, one, have checked out. They're looking for the excuse they'll give. That's one. Some other cell leaders have remembered the back of their house. There's a woman who sells fufu there. They're going to ask the woman that day that she should not come, that they will rent chairs there. And already they know where they will rent the chairs. It's 10 chairs. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Next verse. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? So, this is the story. Just give you the background. Jesus wants to, he's supposed to go to this synagogue's man's daughter who was sick. Now, on the road to the place, Jesus delays because someone whose daughter is also sick gets healed. So Jesus is now going to this synagogue's man's daughter to go and heal. Then while Jesus was speaking about the first one, while he was attending to the first miracle, they came and said, don't trouble the master anymore. The daughter is already dead. Don't bother anymore. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, Jesus couldn't take it. He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Why? Because Jesus knows that the information they've just given this man is going to destroy the miracle. He said, check the NIV for me. And one of the verses says, stop the fear. Stop the fear. What am I going to amount to? Stop the fear. Stop the fear. Don't allow the fear. Stop the fear. Your mentality. You should develop, an attitude against losing. Develop an attitude against losing. Oh boy, I've met many cell leaders, many fellowship leaders, even sometimes members, because we said engage, when something is not working, you fight. They fight. And so now, it's either they settle with what is there or they retreat. So I cannot do it anymore. When I see Christians like that, I'm like, what? Where were you raised? Who raised you? Who was your leader? I,
I just pray you get you have a good PCF leader. Because if I'm your PCF leader, I'll not let you sleep. The whole PCF will not sleep. We'll not sleep. We want to do something we're not able to do. We will not sleep. Say, it's better we were fighting and they didn't get it than we did not fight. Because I don't know what will happen if I fought. I'll be fighting. Who's your leader? Who raised you? Who raised you? Where are you coming from? You know, if you are from the Peter tribe, the tribe of Peter, we are very forward. we don't understand it. It could not happen. Jesus did it, we will do it. I attempted my first miracle crusade when I was 18 years. Nobody got healed, but yeah, fine, cool. Yeah. The day I was trying at age 19, I wanted to have a miracle crusade at National Theater. It's God that stopped me. That's why I said, only God can stop me. It's God that came and said, guys, okay, relax. Relax, we need to put some things in place first. But still, I was still doing picking moves. Once I saw that I could not raise a cripple, I started healing cold and cough. Stop the fear! If you're coming from where we are coming from, we don't stop. Am I talking to somebody here? We don't stop. Malakovre de sare. We don't stop. We don't fear. If fear tries to attack us, we start speaking in tongues. Yeah. I called the teens church together. I called them together. I said we're going to have the biggest meeting for SS leavers. I said 5,000 people. I called them. Now, this people, they've not even done 1,000. I said, we're going for it. I'm going to push them. I'm going to push them. Then I started noticing the mentality challenges I had with some of them. You see, you can be in church, and everything that is being preached, you are collecting it into your small mentality. There are some people, no matter what you give them, they will bring it back to their mind. Give them 1,000 members. Come in 6 months' time. You will see them at Africana Guest House. You know Africana Guest House? Give them 1,000 people. You come and meet them having a meeting at Africana with 1,000 people. I'm not lying. I'm telling you what is there. That's how some people are. Give them 1,000 people and say, these 1,000 people are for you. Lead them. You can't meet them. They are left 144 at African Guest House. And if you understand the workings of the Holy Ghost, you will know that He supports it when you think big. When you increase in your mind, He supports it. We couldn't do it now. We couldn't do it. We tried. What's going on with you? And sometimes you have started small, right? But it's still big inside. I don't know if you get it. It's still big. Like you're still big inside. You have just started small, but you're still big inside. You know that no, we can't. We are not here. This is not us. We are not. Am I talking to somebody here? Yes. Yeah. No. You will not take anything mediocre. Am I talking to somebody here? Yes, you will not take anything mediocre. When you watch the best of the best online, even if your money is not there yet, do your own level of excellence. You are going there. Am I talking to somebody here? Don't be settled for it. Some people have just coasted and they are sitting down there. No matter your prayer, what you are exhibiting is fear. You are afraid. You want to even have a meeting. Somebody says, okay, meet me at Kempinski. You say, please. Let's meet at Pinocchio. Your mindset. When you see that you have a very small mindset, sometimes go and report yourself. Go and report yourself to one, you know, either your friend or your leader who has a big mindset. Say, help me. Tell me big things. Tell me big things. It has nothing with what is in your pocket, your mind. I would say, they limited the Holy One of Israel. When we wanted to buy land as a church. You know, if it is to buy land and build, just land and build, you know what we have built? Just look for some two plots, build something on it, that the Lord will do it. Other people have done it. I can't do it. It's not part. You know when there's a day I noticed I have a problem. Let me tell you, it's recently. I just knew that I have a problem. And don't pray for me because I cannot be healed. Let me tell you my problem. You know, recently I started playing football with some of the leaders. The day I noticed I have a problem is that last week, they scored my team. That night I could not sleep. That day I realized I have a problem. I said, but, so I was now counseling myself. I said, but it's just a game. It's just to keep fit. It's just a game. Still, I could not. Sir, they scored us. Carry. See, let me tell you. There's no money on the game. There's nothing. In fact, it's because of the way we're playing. They had scored us 11-9. No. It's not a full pitch, so the goals can be more. You understand? It's one of those astroturfs. So it's not even 11 players each. So the goals can be more. So we were leading them 7-3. They scored till they went to 11. Now, we had like 3 minutes to end the game. We were just rushing, trying to score. We were just, one guy, he got a free pull. He just, I said, oh God. My God. I could not take it. And I knew that I have a problem in life. So I cannot take losses. It's a good problem. Now, listen. Of course, this week, we met them yesterday and scored them.
That's right.
Cannot take it. I realized I have a problem. I was now advising myself. I said, see, it's just a football match. And I texted some members of my team. I said, no. Next week, we must score this before. By hook or by crook, anything that you do, we'll score it. So our players were diving and collecting penalties. Someone say after me, say, I refuse to be behind. Why are you losing? You are playing Ludo with your friend. You lost. You're okay. They are surprised. Isn't that little things? You lose. You lose something small, you're okay. The day you lose something big, you will be okay. You will find a motivational quote for yourself. I cannot take it. That day was when I thought that I'm like that with the work of God only. I realized that, no, it's not busy. It's beyond that. It's like I just can't take losses. Like, why am I losing? How can I be here and I lost? Any day we'll catch them, we'll score them. Any day. Stop the fear. That kind of mentality, it would change your prayer life. See, let me tell you, it's better to be in one bedroom, except God is the one that sent you there. It's better to be in one bedroom in East Legon than to be in a four bedroom in somewhere else. I will not mention any West Coast. But I'm going to mention somewhere now. You stay over there. Because when you wake up in that estate, the way your neighbors will be moving around, you yourself, you put yourself together. One time I moved into a certain estate. When I saw my neighbors, some years ago, I moved into, and that was the first time I was moving in that kind of estate. As I drove there like this, I said, "This, my house is here, my house is here." I went, I took it. When I woke up in the morning like this, I look at myself, say, "My neighbors, these are my neighbors. God punish poverty, these are my neighbors." Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes, sir!
It is to buy land on the road. Do you know where we buy land? You know what took us time to get land? I'll go behind a brick to go and put the church there. And you know you will not come. I'll go and put it, you know. I'll tell, yeah, Airport City has ended up in a brick. I'll be at the back. Those kind of lands are not expensive. Yeah. Every city. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, then we'll be there. No, serious. Or we'll go behind Kaswa. There are vast lands, vast, vast. We can even get 10 acres. Imagine that where we go for camp is where our church is. You know you will not come. You see how you said, "Hey." No, you will not come. So then, if we're going to buy one around here, maybe if we get 1 acre, we can manage 1 acre. So 1 acre, go there to get 1 acre. It's not hard. We just build something quickly. I cannot do it. Say, you know, from little to little, little. Little is relative. 4 acres can be little. You understand? It depends on who it is for. So sometimes your friends will come and tell you, you know, my pastor will come and tell you, "Oh, we have gotten our permanent, or what here, permanent." How many people does it sit? 72. Yeah, that's their permanent. How many people, we have a 200 permanent, 200 seat permanent already. What's the meaning of that? The day we got the land, when we went there, that thing, they said 4 acres. I said, "I take it. 4 acres. So, no, people must start from little. I said, "I cannot. That's my little." Why? Because I've already had little. Holidaying was very little. I finished that. I finished that class. I've passed. I'm out of that place. I started acting my feet. I started putting our feet to work. I started acting our feet. I started putting the feet to work. Speaking in tongues and acting our feet. Or usually in those kind of things, all I need is for God to just agree with me. If I pray and God says, "No, boy, reduce it to 1 acre, no problem." There's nothing like promised land. Promised land is where the presence is. Anywhere God says, if God says I should move into a 2-plot, that is a promised land. Move to 4 acres. 4 acres. God says, "Yes, take it. Work on your mind." Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes, sir.
Work on your mind. So I refuse to do small things. I refuse to do small things. No, no, you're not saying anything. I refuse to do small things. I refuse to do small things. All members of Airport City will not do small things. They will not do small things. Oh, mantala baro sendarabaya. Ela bakora bandini messiah. Hi. You see, a conference center, you see the main hall? We use it for overflow.
Yes.
It's not a prophecy. We've done it already.
Yes.
We refuse to do small things. I refuse to do small things.
I refuse to do small things.
Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop the fear. Stop the fear. Stop the fear. You see, the venture of risk-taking, stepping in. People are too afraid. People are too afraid. You know, come on, think about it. If you were Andrew and Bartholomew and the rest of the disciples, when Peter stepped on, won't you hear others say, "Hey, if it is me, just tell me, come." No, they were too laid back. When God was looking for who will bring the gospel to the Gentiles first, it was Peter. Why? Because the guy's already always ready to move. His attitude is faith friendly. You didn't hear me. I said Peter's attitude is faith friendly. Some attitudes are not faith friendly. Some attitudes are, me, I don't talk. Me, I don't do anything. You will not do anything in life, oh. Me, I don't know. Let me tell you. If anybody says, I am not entrepreneurial, he's lying. He's just lazy. Don't let anybody tell you that. Because, you know, among the Jews, you will have to be entrepreneurial. If you were born in Israel, if you were a Jew in those times, everybody, because they understand the law of money, that everybody, you, even if you are working for somebody, you have to be doing something on the side that belongs to you. So those kind of things, I am not entrepreneurial, my own is to write something in a book. You are lying, you are lazy. Go and learn it. Go and learn it. Go and learn it. If you want to give $1 million, which work will you be working? Who employ you to pay you $1 million? No, don't tell me that. Well, tell me the truth. Who will pay you $1 million for working? Don't annoy me. Who will be paying you $1 million to be working? No, but if you are doing your business, you can make it. You can get a contract of that amount if you are doing your business. So even if you are working somewhere, be doing something. You can be selling bread. But your wig is so long, you cannot even go and sell bread. You feel it's some way to go and sell bread. You go, and as you are going, the word that has been spoken on the altar concerning you will be following you there. As you are going to look for the corner, all the doors are open unto you. How will it open? How will it open? It will not open if you sit down. You know, people say, me, I'm not the man. My own is to write in a book. So I'll be a bookkeeper. You'll be a bookkeeper. People should bring their money so that you will write it in a book. You must be an employer of labor. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Even if you are working in a company, there are some companies good to work there, you understand? You know that money is always going to be coming to you. So you know that you whatever happens in this world, you take the salary. So while that is coming, you are doing something on the side. You are your sister, your junior sister who just finished school is doing something for you and you are starting something. Small money will be coming, just be putting it in the bank. Don't say I'm not an entrepreneur. What's the meaning of that? What's that? Have you heard some before? It's because of, you know why you are thinking like that? It's because of the country you were born in. They gave you an educational system that is supposed to manage things and not produce things. And they did it on purpose. Why? Because they know that Africa has the resources. If they give you an educational system that makes you produce, we will never come to them. They did it on purpose. Don't think that everything you are learning in school is correct. Read the Bible. Yes. It was done on purpose. The school system you have now is to manage things. Yet, all you have is raw material. And all you have been taught is to manage. So what will you do? You will go to a producer. So one of the biggest things that is destroying Africa's economy is that they sell raw material, not finished products. Raw material, too, does not cost. So the nations that were able to rise out of that education system and start producing things, the educational system produces. Look at in Ghana, for example, when you attend a technical school, people laugh at you. You know, it is technical schools that make you produce. People, look at some of you, you didn't take pretext seriously. I'm a pretext teacher. Okay, some of you didn't take pretext seriously. Read your Bible. Your Bible supports starting something. That's what your Bible supports starting something. Yeah. Check all the men who were working with people, who were working on something. Now, you have to understand that Joseph working with Potiphar was an anomaly. If he was not sold, he would not work with Potiphar. He'd be working in his father's field. When he went to work with Potiphar, the Bible said, and the Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. I mean, the blessing was not coming to Joseph, it was coming to Potiphar. You didn't hear that. The Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. God was not blessing Joseph. The Lord was blessing Potiphar. So there are some people, the blessing on their life is making their company prosper. They are not seeing the money. So because they're in the company, they lead early morning prayer in the company, they work hard in the company is prospering, the boss is getting money, and they are there. That blessing on your life, go and start something. Anything will work. Are you listening?
Yes.
Anything will work. And when you started like that, the power of God will not sponsor things that are mediocre. Be excellent. Am I talking to somebody here? Be excellent. You cannot be working. You cannot be. You are selling something, all right? And you are selling something. Somebody from church bought it, all right? Maybe online, because to sell it in church is wrong. It's not market. So you sold outside, and the person met you, and because the person knows, maybe it's in church, you can see. So, please, the things you sold for me were bad. Don't say it's okay. So, no, excellence immediately, because a good name is better than riches. That a person came to even tell you, it's a good thing. It's God that made him tell you. Immediately say, please bring everything. I'm not charging you. Please bring everything. We will restock it for you. But because we are all in church, what you don't know, you are going to miss about 10 recommendations. So when you finish, you say, open the floodgate of what? So I can kill people. You become excellent. Am I talking to somebody here? You become excellent. You become excellent. Excellent doesn't mean become expensive. You can be excellent without expensive. You can be excellent without becoming expensive. So now you are going to borrow money to be excellent. No, you don't borrow money to be excellent. Wherever you are now, function at the best capacity of that place. If you are not sure of what you are doing, ask questions. Well, ask people. How do we go about this? How do I do about this? Don't be selling hair and your hair looks like four people have worn it. Oh, I should not say it. I will say it. Don't be selling hair like you're saying. What's that? You say, and we are praying for increase. Increase of what? God too does not want his children to suffer. After they wore their head, now they don't know whether they are Christians or they are not. You braid, eh? You braid. There's one of our cell leaders here who was about to travel outside the country. Well, she was about to travel outside. Now, she didn't even know she was about to travel outside the country when she was here. You know, the Holy Spirit told her, she has finished school. I think she was about to do a national service. So the Holy Spirit said, learn how to breed. She said, breed. She has no interest. She doesn't know anything about it. The Holy Spirit said, no, learn how to breed. She said, learn how to breed. She started learning. She said she started learning on YouTube. See? Started learning how to. There are many things you can learn on YouTube. Don't waste the internet. They're just there watching snaps. Hey, queen, hey, queen, hey, queen. Watching snaps and making snaps. Watching snaps and making snaps. Watching snaps and making snaps. Why? Can't you learn? Can't you learn? Can't you learn? Then she then learned how to breed. Her mother was supporting her. Learn how to breed. She didn't know that a door was going to open for her to travel outside. When she traveled outside, she realized that this is big booming business here now. People want to breed. When people breed outside like that, for 2 months they are wearing it. Because why? They can't change it because a lot of money. When she got there, she started breeding. Somebody started telling somebody. She gave her first $1,000. Am I talking to somebody here? Your faith is going to leap. 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 Am I talking to somebody here? Look at Joshua in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. Look at when the sea parted with Joshua. This is what happened. And it came to pass when the people removed from the tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Next verse. Montalabaya. And as they bear the ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks, or all the time of harvest. Now, this is what it means. It means that the water was overflowing, The water was overflowing. But God had already told them that they should put their leg in. When they put their leg in, it will open. When they put their leg in, it opened.
You see, some people will be waiting. They should open. We'll pass through. No, that is not faith. Faith means we'll put our leg in and it will open. Faith means we don't know much about this business. We'll start first and we'll be reading as we go on. When they put their leg in, it open. Lift your hand and begin to pray. Lift your hand and begin to pray. Mola makabala babaya. Sola mandele basheda brade bayaba. Oh. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Matakalaba. That is when it opened. That is when it opened. That is when it opened. Mandole bekaya. Oh, before I came out today, the Spirit of the Lord said, is that many of you are going to leap? You are going to leap. You are going to leap. You are going to leap. There's going to be a leaping. Between now and the end of this month, there's going to be a leap. Mantakalabaye. Rashadabaya. Praying tongues from your belly at this point. Montolobo sekebaya. There's going to be a leaping. You're going to have stories of faith. You're going to have testimonies of faith. You have come into your era of big things. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's time to do big things.